On the question of repeatedly relying on the same sources, the Joe the Printer story jogged our memories here this week at OTM. Almost exactly 10 years ago, we took a broader look at that very subject in a piece we called Rolodex Journalism. Some of the details are a little dated. Peter Goodman is no longer at the Washington Post. He's now executive business editor of the Huffington Post. And nowadays, when we refer to a Rolodex, it's more likely to be a metaphor than an actual physical thing that sits on your desk. But the facts still stand in this golden oldie.
Major Strasser has been shot. Round up the usual suspects.
Here's the difference between Captain Renault, prefect of Casablanca Police, and the media. Renault had a whistle. Otherwise, the methodology is pretty much the same. A story breaks, expert analysis is required, turn to the Rolodex and round up the usual suspects. If it's a legal issue, find Alan Dershowitz. If it's an FBI investigation, call ex-G-man James Kallstrom. Conservative politics, William Kristol. Advertising? Well, modesty forbids.
Are there any advertisers that would say that O.J. Simpson could be good for them?
Not any advertiser of substance. This endorsement business is not just about name recognition and notoriety. It's about respect and credibility and likability. And O.J. is never going to regain that. 70% of the American people still thinks the guy got away with murder. It's just not going to happen. You know, they could acquit the Menendez brothers, too, but they're not going to be the Doublemint twins.
Did whoever called me to book that interview call me because I was involved in the O.J. story? No. Because I'd written something especially trenchant on the subject? No. Because I was just the right person to provide context and detail? No. It was because the story concerned advertising pitchmen, and in her Rolodex under A for advertising, she found my name. And it happens every day in broadcast and print thousands and thousands of times, with varying degrees of suitability and a whole lot of deja vu. Robert Thompson is a professor of journalism and mass media at Syracuse University.
Because journalism goes off at the alarmingly quick rate that it does, people do collect Rolodexes. They're people they know they can get a hold of on a moment's notice. And I think there is this kind of aristocracy of commentators that gets created as a result of it.
I myself have landed in that Burke's peerage of punditry, but there's another one of my peers who is really without peer. He is Norman Ornstein, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and probably the most quoted non-government official in Washington. He may be listed in a lot of Rolodexes under P for politics and, say, C for Congress. He should be under O, not for Ornstein, but for O negative. He's the universal donor, spilling his life's blood 2,000 to 3,000 times a year. In the past 2 weeks, he's been flooded with calls about Homeland Security, but...
I've had calls on the budget. I've done phone calls on Ben Gilman. I've done things on the farm bill.
You get the point. And Ornstein gets the calls because he's a dependable source on damn near anything, which is handy, but in terms of broadening debate on a given subject, not necessarily ideal. Furthermore, there's the question of actual reporting versus just filling in the blanks. Not to point any fingers, but let's just say it isn't too hard to write a story before conducting an interview, leaving spaces with notations like, Ornstein, quote, here. The king of quotes himself acknowledges that.
I find now, compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago, a lot more laziness on the part of reporters, people who turn to the same sources because they pretty much know what they're going to get and there isn't any use in looking around.
The result, says Professor Thompson, is the usual suspects phenomenon, which for all its advantages to reporters and producers can be antithetical to genuine inquiry.
I think the Rolodex in the end becomes one of the most important tools in the toolbox of a good journalist. I think what we may be looking for is a need for that Rolodex to have a more diverse set of voices within it.
For instance, a search of the New York Times database for the past 2 years yields 42 stories, quoting consumer advocate Gene Kimmelman, head of the Washington Office of the Consumers Union. Now, Washington is just lousy with consumer advocates, but Kimmelman rules. Of course, the Times has nothing on the Washington Post, which in the same period quoted Kimmelman 58 times, including on January 23, 2001, an astonishing 3 times in 3 separate stories, all on section fronts. That's right, the coveted trifecta. Kimmelman chuckled over his breakfast. Meanwhile, in the Washington Post newsroom, reporter Peter Goodman ambivalently accepted the congratulations of his colleagues, because while Kimmelman was the horse that won 3 races in one day, Goodman was the jockey in the mount. Yes, one reporter wrote all 3 stories, quoting the same man.
It's both an anomaly and a symptom of a larger problem. There is no question that the beat reporter in Washington is harried and frantic and is too prone to doing the easiest thing, which in this case was reaching someone who's, you know, delightfully easy to get a hold of and who gives good quote. So for that, I'm guilty. We, the members of the media, are guilty. And, you know, I could have, let's be real. You know, I should have worked harder to get some other voices in the paper.
You can't much fault Goodman, to switch back to Professor Thompson's metaphor, if he is guilty of nothing more than using the right tool for the job on 3 separate jobs that happen to coincide. If the job calls for a hammer, you grab a hammer. What reporters and producers need to do, Thompson says, is to keep a large and diverse toolbox so that they're not using a hammer to put in a screw. Strangely, the biggest toolboxes of all probably belong to cable news. For all its notorious sensationalism and superficiality, cable may provide more diversity of expert analysis than the largest newspapers, owing not to its nuanced coverage, we know it doesn't provide that, but simply to its insatiable appetite for ever more experts to fill all those chairs on camera 24 hours a day. Each network has a central database of 50,000 names. So precious is his Rolodex collection to Fox News Channel's chief booker Eric Spinato that each evening before he leaves work, he places his under lock and key.
It could be a janitor. I don't know who's looking through my Rolodexes. They could, again, take someone's home number that if they trusted me with it, how am I? I'm being negligent by leaving it out for others to scour through.
Imagine this scenario. You're at the beach. Your wife is standing with her back to the ocean. Next to her are your 7 Rolodexes. You see a huge wave gathering, and it's just about to break. What do you do?
Grab the Rolodexes in one hand and grab the wife's hand on the other and leave. The Rolodex is our life.
That's because while the problems of 2 people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world, the fate of 50,000 experts and pundits could affect the Hannity and Combs show and special report with Brit Hume and the O'Reilly Factor. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday and for the rest of your life.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.